Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Inside Wrestling for February 25th, 2023. I'm your host, Nate, and we're going to be talking about the greatest dumpster fires of pro wrestling, basically ideas, characters of all time, basically. So feel free to call in, 515-602-9707. I think it's Ashley. Let me see. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the greatest dumpster fires of pro wrestling, the worst ideas and characters ever in WWE, WCW, AEW, whatever. So, any thoughts, any characters back in the day? You thought it was like a great dumpster fire? I mean, I got a couple. The Shockmaster and the Red Rooster, Terry Taylor. Thought that was a bad idea back in the day.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of the Shockmaster? Well, you're young. How old are you? In your 30s?
I'm 38.
You're 38. I'm 44. You never heard of the Shockmaster? The guy that fell through the wall and fell on his ass? WCW? Never seen that clip? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Red Rooster, Terry Taylor? Man, Duke the Dumpster Drosty? Wow. So how's it going? How was, did you watch Rampage yesterday?
I did. I found out the Hook is coming back. Yay!
Is who's coming back?
Hook.
Oh, Hook? You want to fuck him, right? You want to bang him, right?
You can't say that over the air.
Yeah, I can. Free speech, First Amendment. So, well, what is it about Hook that you like the most? What is it?
Oh, my God. I love his long hair. I love his body. I love everything about him.
Oh, yeah. You like that meat, huh? You like that beef. Yeah. Isn't it weird that he's Taz's son? Isn't it weird that he's Taz's son?
Yeah,
he doesn't even resemble like Taz at all. You know, it's crazy. Doesn't really look like
well,
him, except for the skin. Yeah. So, but no, you don't remember any characters that were bad back in the day? You thought were stupid ideas or nothing? Like, what was a bad idea you thought?
I was gonna watch it back in the day.
No, I know. But even, like, the modern product, you don't think there's any stupid ideas they've done? Like, what about, like, the Funkadactyls or Brodus Clay and stuff like
that?
That was
kind of
stupid.
That's stupid, yeah.
But, I mean, Santino Marella, that was kind of a dumb idea. I mean, but it got over.
Yeah,
fans kind of liked it, you know?
Yeah, I didn't like his name. That was kind of a weird name, Santino Marella. Come on.
Yeah, I know, Santino Marella. So I guess his daughter's into wrestling now, too. Let me bring in Chris on the show.
Chris.
What's up, man?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, we're talking about dumpster fires. I got my friend Ashley on the other line. She's from Connecticut, too. So, Chris, she's cool. She likes wrestling. She likes Hook.
Oh, really?
Favorite.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
I see. So Ashley is one of the female demographic TK is going after, the Jungle Hook. I see.
Yeah. Hey, Ashley, what about Jungle Boy? You like Jungle Boy, too?
Jack Perry? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's nice. He got that nice hair. Should be, like, doing, like, shampoo commercials and stuff.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Definitely, yeah. You want some of that beef. I know. You like that beef.
Yeah. He's got that Brendan Fraser, like, 97 thing
Brendan
going
Fraser.
On. Remember Georgia the Jungle?
Yeah, exactly. So, Ashley, what are you doing this weekend? Anything? What's going on? Nothing?
Not really nothing.
All right. Well, it's nice chatting with you. You're always more than welcome to join us if you want to talk. What were your thoughts on Rampage? You like the show? Was it good?
It was pretty good, yeah. I think there's, like I said, there's more action in Rampage than WWE.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's more action on a fucking test pattern screen than WWE. I mean, really, they suck. WWE. I can't even watch that garbage. I mean, if I'm suffering from insomnia, I put on Raw, you know, to help me fall asleep. So, but anyway.
Yeah.
But Ashley, you have a nice weekend. I'll chat with you in the future.
Okay, you too.
Keep in touch. You're more than welcome to join us anytime. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, that was my friend Ashley. You know, she don't even remember the Shockmaster, Terry Taylor. I'm like, how old are you? She's like 38. I was like, wow, you don't remember? Those guys, I mean, I'm 44.
Oh, no,
I mean,
I'm billing his hours.
Yeah. So, I mean, who are your biggest dumpster fires of pro wrestling, Chris?
I mean, you already know I'm here, man. I'm here to just shit on Savio. Fuck that guy. Can't stand
him. Oh, yeah.
Fucking,
well, you got to admit, Savio did have some good feuds with Austin. He had some good matches with Austin. Back in those early
in
the
good
house
strap
days.
Match.
Yeah, good strap match.
Yeah, man.
Shit.
Yeah, good strap match, you know.
So,
he
was he another
first,
character?
What's that?
Was he another character besides Sally? Was he? He wasn't Quang. No, that wasn't him, right? Quang.
No, I think that was somebody
that was
else.
Yeah, it was somebody else. Yeah, I think that was a what do you call it? A Rikishi or something was Quang or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
got a lot
another
of them. There's Matt Morgan. There's of course Baron Corbin.
Why was Matt Morgan under fire? Just like no direction for him? Because he seemed like a good character.
I mean,
character.
He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. Like, it's like they kept trying. It's just that's why I always compare him to Corbin. Like, he wasn't bad, but it was like they kept trying, and it's like not every guy has it, you know. Like some, it's just like every time you keep trying to push someone that doesn't have it, and it's like you could be giving that same push to someone else who does have it, and it's like how many failed pushes does this person have to have before you're just like enough already?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like why I never really cared for Morgan. But I will definitely take Morgan over Corbin. So.
No, yeah. I mean, like I said, the only Corbin character I liked when he had the long hair and stuff like that, it looked like Walking Dead, the guy from The Walking Dead and shit like that. And he has a cool theme song. He's got a couple moves that I like. But, yeah, ever since he shaved his head and went Baron Corbin, it's kind of – I mean, I was trying to get into, like, the homeless bum Corbin because that was kind of funny. You know, this guy's strung out on his luck. It's kind of like me at the casino when I lose, you know, and all of a sudden you win something.
Yeah, that was fun.
Bum
Corbin was fun. The problem is like a gimmick like that has a shelf life. You can't only do that
for
so long. So,
yeah, you only do that
but
for so
the
long.
Time that it went, though, was fun, though.
They should have did, like, the skit, like, from National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation where he finds that guy's ticket from the Keno and he just dies and cashes it in. It's $50,000 or something. They should have did some shit like that. That would have been kind of funny with him. But anyways. But Terry Taylor, this guy was like, I think he was in the Horseman for a little bit. He was a decent guy, decent wrestler in WCW. Comes to WWF, they make him to the fucking Red Rooster. What the fuck? I mean, I know people got to pay bills, but God, Red Rooster? I mean, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, TJ Hopper, a fucking plumber. I mean, the goon, a hockey player. I mean, what the fuck kind of crack cocaine was Vince on in those 90s? Fucking just
he was on
bad. Just throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. I mean,
big ups
wow.
To the big ups to the goon, dude, because he actually came out, like, with hockey gear. Like, he went all the way
with
it.
Yeah. His boots were, like, hockey skates, but, like a mold of a skate, you know, because you can't wrestle on skate. But, yeah, it was just weird. And then, like, oh, shit. The
yeah,
stalker,
I don't know what it was about. I don't know what it was about 95. Just, I don't know, just very interesting. I wish I could have been, like, an adult back then. You know, I was a kid, but just something about that year. I don't know why, because it wasn't even, like, it wasn't even like superhero stuff was relevant at the time. I think the only movie, yeah, was Batman Forever, just that one.
Yeah.
Because like WCW, they were on the crazy shit too, the dungeon and Hulk Hogan having fucking like weed dreams about like, where is this? This isn't Hulkamania. I know you. And
yeah.
Like 95 was just weird. I don't know what was going on that year. It just seemed to me like a lot of wrestling promoters are just like having a mental block or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like the fucking Dungeon of Doom, the fucking the zombie, Booty Man, the shark. Fucking Christ. I mean, actually,
like,
I think it was like business-wise, it was one of the worst business years for wrestling. It was like to a point where
it
could have went out of business. It was like, wow.
I think if I could describe it, it was like, for whatever reason, it was like wrestling during that year was like a Saturday morning cartoon. Like something you would see on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And just for whatever reason, that's just what mainstream wrestling was doing at the time. But, like, it wasn't good. I mean, there was some good stuff, but just overall, it wasn't good.
I mean, think about it. That's a great what if. If WCW didn't come out with Nitro, I think fucking wrestling would have been dead in 96 because then, like...
Yep.
They finally had to wake up. Like Vince said, okay, we got to get rid of these stupid cartoon ideas and shit like that. We need to get serious. We got a legit show that's competing with us. And then, you know, the rest of it was history with Hall and Nash, NWO, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, definitely Nitro actually being a show for WCW really, because it was ridiculous, 95.
That's why I always roll my eyes when, you know, every time there's an anniversary. And, of course, an anniversary is a nice accomplishment to have. But every time there's an anniversary for Raw, you know, there's always like, you know, welcome to the most influential show in sports entertainment. It's like, no. The most influential show is Nitro. Nitro is the show that changed the business. Now, Raw, you can say that Raw has the most longevity of any sports entertainment show. That's fair. You can say that it has the most amount of episodes. That's fair. You can say that Raw had the highest ratings of any sports entertainment show. That's fair. Those are all fair statements. But to say it's the most influential show, no, the most influential show was Nitro, because Nitro is what set the format for a two-hour show. Nitro is what made Vince get off his ass, like you just said, basically be like, holy shit, we're getting our ass kicked. We better do something here. Nitro was what set the standard for the watch parties, you know, the Nitro parties that you always joke about back in the day. You know, it was Nitro. Nitro. Right, Nitro was what led to Raw becoming Raw as War and Warzone, which is the most popular period of the history of not just Raw, but WWE in general. So I think Nitro deserves that.
Let me bring in this call. I think it's a Sandman. It might be Sandman.
Okay.
Let's go.
Hello? Yo.
What's up, man? What's going on?
What's going on, y'all? How y'all feeling?
Chilling.
We're talking about the greatest dumpster fires of pro wrestling. You know, Shockmaster, Terry Taylor, the Red Rooster, whatever. Zodiac, Boogeyman, whatever. The dumpster.
Mr. America.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan, Captain America. Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. It took 30 years for Shockmaster's greatest blunder to be outridden by Top Dollar. I mean, but whatever. someone had to finally be it.
And this dude, Michael Cole, was definitely not trying to help his cause. Like, this dude,
Michael Cole,
straight throwing shots at him.
I love how Cole,
he went over that time. Welcome. Definitely the walking. That's what they should, instead of like the Walking Dead WWE after WrestleMania, the walking papers. There you go, Top Dollar and all that. Gone.
That should be a pay-per-view, right? WWE presents the walking papers.
Yeah, walking papers on a pole match, you know, everybody's fighting for their job.
Anybody that loses, they got to leave WWE.
Actually, that's like a blessing for some people.
What's crazy about Top Dollar is like, what's crazy about him is like he actually thinks he's good. He actually thinks he's good. That's the sad part.
Well, what I would say about him, I know we do a lot of shots at Top Dollar, but at least he tried. You can tell he be trying.
Yeah.
But like, these dudes don't really try as much. You know, like Ashanti dude, he's pretty good. But, you know, we all know that Top Dollar, he may not be one of the best. That's like, you know, that's granted. But you can tell he actually does try. He's just doofy. He can't help but be a
doofball. Here's what needs to happen, all right? They're going to get cut post-Mania. They'll get fired, all right? Once they get fired, Impact needs to pick them up, and then JTG needs to go to Impact and let JTG carry them in Impact, and let's see what can happen. I don't know. I got a gut feeling. I feel like JTG could actually make something of this. That's just my thought on it.
That's a good idea.
You think JTG should be a leader, though? You know, JTG is normally like the sidekick.
Well, I mean, have you seen him recently? He's in phenomenal shape, bro. Have you seen him? He's like a new man.
He'd be on the indie circuit and shit. He was just tag teaming with Fandango on NWA. Mm.
Right, I'll be watching him. Okay.
Yeah. I just love the fact that, like, that clip from PW Hustle, there's absolutely no way, and he starts laughing, like, you're absolutely right, there is no way. We gotta go back. Dude, man, I'm sorry, you don't need no medication, no pills. If you're suffering from depression, just watch that one-minute clip, you'll be fucking happy in a heartbeat. I'm like, man, my life ain't that bad. I have to watch that fucking bicep. Wow. But anyways, I mean, what other bad ideas? I'm trying to think of, like, some really bad ideas.
The anonymous GM. That one.
Oh, that was stupid, too. Oh, my God, my anonymous GM.
It was intriguing at first. We were really thinking, like, yo, I wonder who's really pulling the strings behind the scenes. And that was such a major letdown.
And Mark Henry with the hand, too, with the Mae Young with the fucking hand, birth of hand. What the fuck?
Oh, God, that was just gross.
Right. Right.
I got one. The reverse Battle Royal and Impact.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Oh, you see that.
They had to get in the ring to qualify to be in the Battle Royal, and then you got to get thrown back out to get eliminated. What kind of bullshit was that?
I won't say it's a dumpster fire, but since he brought up TNA, I thought that the King of the Mountain has some cool things. What was that?
I actually like the King of the Mountain. I was the King of the Mountain too bad.
I think putting the belt, what I don't like is I always think that putting the belt on the thing is weird, but I like the penalty box concept. That's cool.
Yeah.
I really never got really into TNA, really. I would watch it like bits and pieces. When Hogan and Bischoff were there, I was watching it more because, you know, I like the whole Hall Nash, NWO kind of thingamajig, but, you know, I thought they had some good ideas, X Division and stuff like that and stuff. They had some cool ideas. TNA. And they won't die. They won't die. They never want to die.
They're the water bug of wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking just die, motherfucker, die. But nope, we won't die. Actually, you know, it was a good concept. I wish they really would. I used to love Shotgun Saturday Night. It wasn't a dumpster fire, but it was interesting.
You love mentioning Shotgun Saturday.
I always thought they could have did a pay-per-view or something with that. That would have been kind of cool.
They might not bring that back because given the fact that it's called Shotgun, Saturday, you know, keyword Shotgun, and, you know, it's going to be PG.
PG.
Yeah, Shotgun was cool.
Yeah, Shotgun was kind of cool concept.
It had that whole Fight Club type of aura to it.
How can we not talk about this motherfucker? The Yeti, Rye humping Hogan with the Giant. I mean,
the Yeti.
The Yeti. I felt bad for the guy that had to use the shitter that night. He's like, fuck, where's the toilet paper? Oh, that fucking asshole's got it in the rain.
I'll never forget. Yeah, never forget about the night. The night when the Giant and the Yeti ran a train on Hogan, and then the Giant was pushed off the building. And then the Giant was pushed off the building and no-sold it.
Yeah, no-sold it. Tune in to Nitro, we'll tell you how he survived. You know, fucking A. Bischoff, 28 years later, how did the Giant survive the fall? We're still waiting, you son of a bitch.
As a matter of fact, they did that shit again. Well, not WCW, but WWE. Remember with their Money in the
Bank
match?
Yeah. Who the Corbin and Mysterio?
Baron Corbin fill up the building, I think it was. Who filled up the building?
Ricochet and Mysterio?
I thought
I don't
the concept of, dude, I, even though it was because of COVID, I thought the concept of the Money in the Bank match being in WWE HQ. I thought that was different.
That was
they should have done it again.
Yeah,
it was fun.
No, they're fighting each other, getting on the fucking elevator, they're going up the stairs.
Yeah,
that was
cool. We definitely don't want to go back to the COVID era, but some of the stuff was cool. That was cool, and I loved AEW's Anarchy Rules, or no, what was it called? The
Stadium
Stampede thing. Those were really cool, innovative, cinematic. I mean, they were kind of cinematic, but not really. They were cool. I like those matches. They were fun.
I like when fucking Jericho back elbow to fucking mask guy. I fucking died laughing. Fucking knocked him out. And then they're fighting in the pool and shit, Ortiz and shit like that. They're fighting in the pool. That was kind of cool. But, yeah.
They
I mean, like I said, I mean, you can complain. Yeah, I mean, you could, like I said before, like on yesterday's show, last night I was talking, like, you could complain about all you want about AEW, but name me one stinker pay-per-view. You can't, you know? So they're doing something right.
I'll be the first one to say, like, yeah, the pay-per-views don't be bad. It just be too damn long. It'd be magical.
No, I know.
They don't have to be on there. It could have been on Dynamite.
I think they make them long because Tony Khan wants to give them their money's worth. You know, like, oh, we're going to pay $50 for four matches or five matches? Fuck that. You know, 10 matches. Okay. You know?
Hey, do you guys remember Deuce and Domino?
I like my pizza, but not that much cheese.
Oh.
Hey, do you guys remember Deuce and Domino? That was a dumpster fire.
that was dumpster fire. Chuck and the other guy, Mary. Chuck and fucking Billy. Chuck and Billy.
Deuce and Domino and Cherry.
Yeah.
Oh, Cherry. Wow, I forgot the girl's name. That was her name, Cherry.
Yeah.
Or Vince fucking giving away money on Raw and people are not home picking up the phone and shit. Fucking idiot. Fucking win Vince's money. And then, like, the ending of that was stupid, you know? I think it was
a good example of someone being a dumpster fire and he was, like, self-aware of it and he kind of got over was like Disco Inferno because he was a jobber.
Yeah.
It was a dumb gimmick, but he kind of like took advantage of it. And I don't know. He's one of my favorite comic relief jobbers. So
I think Perry Saturn's probably the greatest like character dumpster fire, but he made it work with Moppy. It's kind of sad that they wanted to give him a shitty
oh, yeah.
and he made it work.
Moppy
got it over. So.
You're welcome. Man.
What?
Moppy.
What's up?
Moppy. You're welcome.
Yeah. The only thing that really pissed me off since, like, the Benoit tragedy was the limo explosion with Vince. I really wanted to see how they were going to go with that in the aftermath. I always thought that would have been interesting.
Somebody said, I forgot who I was watching, they said that basically what they was going to do, they was going to, have this dude come on camera, because y'all don't know, like, this dude, Vince, got another brother, an older brother. I forgot his name. I think his name was Rod or something like that. Like, basically, he was going to get intertwined in the whole storyline. And it was supposed to be, like, a whole power struggle between him, Triple H, Mr. Kennedy, and Shane McMahon, I think it was. It was supposed to be, like, one big power struggle. And it was, you know what I'm saying, like, on some who's going to be the next to run WWE storyline. And
yeah,
then basically, the dude Vince was supposed to just show up at WrestleMania and say, like, oh, this was all a hoax. It wouldn't have ended well. It would have been stupid. So, in a way, That should happen with Benoit, somewhat of a blessing, when it, like WWE terms. I'm not saying that they deserve to, you know, to go, but that happening basically made them just squander the whole storyline.
I was more interested in the curb and white stuff with Chavo. I thought that was hilarious.
I mean, the Benoit, the only really good thing that came out of the Benoit tragedy was the concussion protocols, no more headshots and shit with the chairs. So at least that, you know, at least that came out of it, and steroid testing and stuff like that. So, I mean, we'll go with some bad
things. The Oakies on their ass.
I wasn't a fan of WWE during that time. 2007 was just, it was bleh. I liked 05. I liked
that era.
Yeah, I liked 05 and a little bit 06 because, like, you still had, okay, like the guys who are going to be in the future, like Cena, Orton, Batista, like, they were on the rise, but then, like, in 05 and 06, like, you still had guys, like, that could work, like Booker and Eddie and Angle and Benoit and Jericho, like, so it was a mixture. But then by the time you get to 07, like, Eddie was dead, Benoit died, Angle left, Christian was gone.
Yeah.
And then, like, all the guys that have promise, like, say, Carlito or, like, MVP or Masters, they were just, like, down the undercard. And the main event scene was just, it was, like, Cena or in Triple H. It was just, it was the same guys. It was boring. That was really when I started getting bored.
I gave up watching the product until, like, the Nexus came in. Then the Nexus came in, I'm like, oh, great, this is cool. And Cena killed it.
Yeah, to me,
then I'm like, fuck.
To me,
you know?
Yeah, to me, 2007 going into 2008, that was really the beginning of, in my opinion, of the culture of wrestling that we have today. That was like a lot of the biggest pet peeves, where it was like Cena always winning, lame PG product.
Yeah.
That's what really led to fans just wanting to watch other shit, where they watch TNA, Ring of Honor, or they just stop watching completely and just watch sports or UFC or MMA. And then, and like, those fans would come back every so often, like, you know, for Nexus or Punk's Pipe Bomb. But then the company would always do something stupid to make those fans be like, all right, I'm done, and they don't come back.
Before I forget this one, one of the biggest dumpster fires and blunders of WCW history, Blacktop Bully and Dustin Rhodes get fired from a pay-per-view called Uncensored for Bleeding. What the fuck?
I thought you was gonna mention the alliance to end Hulkamania, that fucking Chuck E. Cheese cage match with like the 7-8 cages.
Final Solution, whatever the fuck that guy was. That guy was a fucking tank. Holy shit, that guy was huge. Jesus Christ.
What was it again? That cage, who's had that cage match between Hogan and Macho Man versus like all the
everybody
in WCW.
Everybody. Yeah.
The Horseman, you had Zeus, you had what was the name of the movable object? What the fuck his name was again?
Final Solution.
That's the most worst name. I think they had
a team to the Ultimate Solution or something, because Final Solution was a name for like Nazi Germany or some shit. But yeah, they had to change his name.
I always found that to be interesting.
Like,
because
like hit with a frying pan and then like a fucking fire extinguisher.
Yeah. I always thought that was interesting, because even though I shot on Hogan, like, that was like his last appearance in WCW before he went heel. Because after that match, like, he disappeared. Because Uncensored
was
in March. Yeah, that was in March. Yep. And then, like, for the rest of April and the rest of May, like, he was gone. So, like, Hogan's smart. He knew. He knew that shit wasn't good. He knew he was getting booed. And then the only time he was ever referenced before the NWO was when Hall came in. And when Hall was like, you know, we want three of the best. And he was like, yo, man, where's the Nacho Man? Where's the immortal Hulkster? Like, yeah, he would joke about it. But, and then sometimes you would think, like, he can't be the third man. It can't be Hulk. But he actually was. It was him.
And then
Matt
was like,
where
is he filming another episode of Blunder in Paradise? You know, this
Oh, God. Didn't he even come out with a movie, Thunder in Paradise?
They probably did. I don't remember.
I think they did. I think it was probably like mid-season.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a lot of stuff back then. There was like a Robin Hood show.
They came out with a video game. They came out with a Paradise video game. But how are they going to come out with a video game and Hogan wasn't even in the damn video game?
Yeah. I got to go back and watch WrestleMania 1 because I want to see Sting there. That's crazy. I never knew Sting was at WrestleMania. What kind of drugs was Rock on? What the fuck? Sting?
I don't know, man.
I can think of a lot of dumps of fire ideas. This is actually a real good topic, Nate.
I was pissed off, too, because last night before Sandman's show, I was just going through my DVR, and I saw Young Rock was there, and I was pissed. I was like, no, I deleted you off my DVR. Like, sometimes DVR is weird. Like, you can cancel recordings, but then it'll record it anyway if you've recorded it enough times. And I was like, no more of this show. I'm done. After I saw Sting at WrestleMania, I was like, I'm done.
Here's another dumpster fire that they had. Well, it was funny, too, superheroes in training. Shit. So I thought that was kind of like a dumpster, but it was funny.
Yo. Rest in peace, Rosie.
Yeah. 3 minute warning was great with Bischoff. You still like that?
Oh, yeah. 3 minute warning is my guilty pleasure in wrestling. That's like my favorite guilty pleasure ever. Love that gimmick.
Didn't he want to like beat the lesbians or something? Isn't like the lesbians were going to get beat up or something, too?
Yeah.
I think so. HLA.
Well, they fucked up with 3 minute warning. Like, they had him actually compete. They should have kept him like how he was. Just come out and just wreck shop. Like, you know, like Eric Bischoff's heavies. You know what I mean? Like,
I
wreck shop and then leave.
I was driving on the highway. There was this tractor trailer truck. In the back of the door, it said HLA. So I passed him out. I was yelling out the window, yeah!
Can you imagine 3 minute warning with the bloodline? That could be like some emergency button that Roman pushes, like when shit hits the fan, when Solo's not enough, when Uso's not enough. Maybe call a 3 minute warning. They come out ready to leave.
He would have been Roman would be unstoppable at that point. That'll be way too much. The bloodline and 3 minute warning? Oh, God.
Yeah. You know what was a concept I wish they would bring in back was World War III. I wish WWE would do that, World War III, the three rings. I thought that was a cool idea.
I liked it, too. It was definitely too much to follow, but I liked it. I liked the concept of it.
Yeah.
Because then you can get, like, multiple organizations showing up, like Mexico and whoever, like New Japan or some shit like that. You know, have some working agreements bringing guys in. I remember the Royal Rumble, they're bringing a lot of AAA superstars, which is kind of cool. I'm going to get it for WWF.
Tell John that we're here. John is messaging us in the group chat. Give him the number. Tell him that we're here. He could come join us.
Oh, he can't call in now. I'm on overtime, so I can't call in. Fuck. Yeah, once they run out of the 30 minutes, the overtime, you can't call in. So it's basically just it records like the last 15 minutes offline.
I'll read what he sent. He sent here. Says Chris Jericho says he sees greatness in Ricky Starks the same way he did with The Rock. Now, I want to speak on this. I guess we're running out of time, so this is the last thing I'll say. My first exposure to Ricky Starks was in NWA, and this is something that, like, wrestling fans need to stop doing, and I get it. And wrestlers do it, too. Wrestling fans and wrestlers themselves have a bad habit of comparing newer wrestlers to older wrestlers. And it's like, when you do that, like, you kind of set this standard, like, that's impossible to reach. I'm going to be honest with you. When I saw Ricky Starks in NWA, at no point did I ever think he reminded me of The Rock. When I saw Ricky Starks, I was just like, oh, this guy's cool. He's young. You know, like, I was like, all right, he's on the smaller side, but he can go in the ring. He's charismatic and stuff. Like, I liked him, you know. And then when he showed up in AEW, all of a sudden I started hearing people compare him to The Rock, and I was like, where's this coming from? Because I don't ever remember hearing any Rock comparisons in NWA, but that's because, with respect to Billy Corgan, a lot of folks, you know, weren't watching NWA. And then the same thing happened also with Eli Drake, a.k.a. L.A. Knight, because I knew about him in Impact. He was in Impact, and then he went to NWA, and I liked him, and he was cool. And then he goes to WWE, and all of a sudden, everyone keeps comparing him to, like, Austin and Rock. Now, in the case of L.A. Knight, you can definitely hear Austin in his voice, like the way he cuts his, he's definitely a hybrid of Austin the Rock,
like
but he's still, but he's still unique enough in a way where he's kind of adding his own charm to it, so to speak. I guess what I'm really trying to say is I just feel like a lot of fans just like, bro, man, just let these wrestlers be themselves and fucking stop comparing them to other wrestlers. You know, I've never seen Ricky as a. There's nothing about Ricky. Nothing about how he carries himself
like
the Rock.
His face and his hair is like the Rock. That's it. His face and his hair. You know, not really his mannerisms either. I mean, a little bit of his mannerisms, but still, he's his own guy. Just a little spin on it, which is his own.
You have a point, Hope, is because basically they could ruin somebody's career because. You know what I mean? You say, like, oh, he reminds me of an Austin or a Rock. And that's when they're going to have those high expectations for you. And if you don't meet them expectations, you're fucked.
Like that dude was Swerve now, the white guy. I don't even know his name. The white dude was Swerve.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah. Bordeaux, whatever.
Yeah, like that guy. Like, I don't watch NXT anymore.
That Bordeaux shit, no.
I don't know him, and I'm not familiar with him. All I know about him is that he was in NXT, and apparently what did him in, it wasn't even his fault, it was Heyman. Heyman at some point went on Twitter and said, this guy's the next Brock Lesnar. And I'm like, why would you do that? There's never going to be another Brock Lesnar. There's never going to be another Goldberg. There's never going to be another Warrior. There's never going to be another Hogan. Why would you compare him to Brock? And so apparently the reason why he was fired was because I guess they felt like he wasn't progressing enough to be the next Brock. And it was like, well, no shit, of course he's not, because no one's going to be the next Brock. Yeah. Like, that got him fired, you know?
He was a master in high school.
Yeah.
Right.
That dude was
look at Kerry Von Erich. A lot of people were comparing Kerry Von Erich to, like, Ultimate Warrior. That probably put pressure on Kerry Von Erich to be like Warrior, you know?
Right,
because of his look, I can definitely see the comparison, yeah.
You know? So, fuck, that probably fucked up Von Erich. But anyways, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I'm just trying to think of, like, any other dumpster fires and shit. I don't know. But, I mean, bad characters of the 90s. The WWE, WCW, fucking Wizard of Oz, Kevin Nash.
Oz.
Yeah.
I got another dumpster fire idea. The Punjabi prison match.
Oh God. Jesus Christ.
Punjabi prison.
It could have worked.
Oh no, WWE with Hogan that rap match, but he called it was like a different name.
Yappa Pie.
So give me two pieces of Popeye's chicken and some fucking mashed potatoes. Yappa Pie.
Yeah. This is a great topic. Yeah. You could think of all kinds of stuff from dumpster fire shit.
Fucking burn.
Yappa Pie.
Yappa Pie. Fucking shit. Ah, man. But anyways. All right, guys. I'm going to get going. So, Tuesday, what are we going to do on the console? Just shoot the shit? Or what we do? Oh, no. The Rampage, right? We'll do it Wednesday? Like a live thing?
I think that was the plan. Sandman? Yeah, unless he changed his mind.
I think Sandman Wednesday, right? Wednesday you're gonna do a show?
Yeah.
Shoot the shit about
it's been a while. Dynamite. We did an AEW watch party.
Okay.
Yeah, watch party. Okay.
Yeah, so I figured you know, why not? Let's do a watch party for the go home show of Dynamite.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, man. I'll talk to you guys, but thanks for calling in.
All right, later.
No problem. Smokey says later.
All right. Later. I want to thank Chris and Sandman and Ashley for calling in. Everyone out there, take care. This has been Nate for Inside Wrestling, Dumpster Fires, or Pro Wrestling. Yeah, the Shockmaster, probably the Shockmaster one I feel bad about because it wasn't really his fault. They rehearsed it. It was fine. And then some idiot fucking put a 2x4 on the bottom, and he tripped over it. But still. It took over 30 years to finally top that one with Top Dollar and his over-the-top rope Bacho. So, but anyways, everyone, take care. It's been Nate for Inside Wrestling. All right, goodbye.